tributes continue to pour in from all over the world following the death of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. The legendary performer died Thursday at the age of 76. I never saw no love a man the way that I love you. One of the great musicians who played with Aretha Franklin was jazz guitarist Russell Malone.
She was just such a wonderful lady, an icon. And then I got a chance to play with her a couple of times. I got to tell you, man, it was very intimidating because she had such a presence on the bandstand. I mean, it's one thing to you get an idea when you listen to the records. You get another idea when you see them perform. But it's something else altogether when you're on the bandstand with them. And it was no different than playing with Sonny Rollins or any of the other jazz greats. They just had that charisma about them. And I could barely play for watching her. It took me a while to get it together, to get my faculties together, because the woman was amazing. I tell you, man, we lost a big one.
Malone played with Aretha in 2016 and back in 2001 for the VH1 Divas concert. The band consisted of Russell Malone, Clark Terry, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, James Carter, and Roy Haynes. Malone says it was her honesty that made Aretha Franklin's voice and music so special. Singer Diane Reeves was able to sing for Aretha at the Monk Institute Gala. She got the opportunity to chat with the icon.
She liked jazz. And I knew that. And one of the songs that I sang was Skylark, because she loved that song. And it was very light, but, you know, just lovely to be in her presence.
Reeves says one of Aretha's albums clearly displays what separated her from others.
She just had this urgency in her voice. But when I tell people if they really want to hear how spirit can be transferred, that they should listen to the Amazing Grace album, because there's no other live album to me that is like that record. To this day, I listen to that record and I still get goosebumps.
Amazing Grace. Singer Betty LaVette says Aretha Franklin was competition, but when it came to the hit Respect, Betty never covered that tune.
And the reason I didn't was because that's exactly the way I would have sung it if I had sung it. There wasn't anything, there wasn't anywhere to go.
Betty and Aretha did share the same hairdresser in Detroit.
It was a hair salon called Hair and Things in Detroit. So I asked someone, I said, either tell me where Aretha gets her hair done, or where it was a woman on Channel 7 News there. Either one of them, and it turned out they both got their hair done at the same place.
Legendary producer George Wein put Aretha Franklin together with Duke Ellington at the 1962 Newport Jazz Festival.
Duke was very kind with her, did a beautiful job, and Aretha got rave reviews. But Aretha was very kind 30 years later. She sang at Newport, and it was sometime in 92. And she acknowledged me from the stage and said it was right here that I started, that I really had her first major job.
Wein considers himself lucky because he had the chance to talk and work with Aretha. Leo Sachs produced the box set Take a Look, Aretha Franklin, complete on Columbia, released by Sony Legacy in 2010.
We included a lot of studio chatter, and you can hear her love for Billy and Dinah Washington. Dinah's Unforgettable was a huge influence on Aretha. But there's something wholly original in everything she's delivering. And some of that, I think, has to do with her life experience, because she already had two children when she came to Columbia at age 18. But I think mostly what we're hearing is the church. And that's the electricity that John Hammond heard when he convinced her to come to Columbia.
Someone who knows about growing up in the church is singer Liz Wright. Many of you remember when Liz Wright came into WBGO years ago for the Gary Walker Morning Show and performed an unbelievable a cappella version of Amazing Grace.
Aretha is one of the only singers that I know of who comes from the church and really could bring not just the songs and the gospel tradition, but this reverent and Holy Spirit from church. She could extract that and found a way to deliver that tremendous love and ministry in whatever she sang, and yet she never left the church. So she's one of the only singers I've ever known about, you know, besides perhaps Mahalia, who, you know, could really sing to anyone. And this, every place where she sang, every song she sang across, you know, just became a sacred space. And that's really something to continue studying. You know, her legacy is a tremendous volume about how that is even possible and about how rich of a, you know, musical institution the church is in the first place.
Dexter Gordon's widow, former manager and producer and now author Maxine Gordon, has some wonderful stories to tell about traveling to see Aretha Franklin perform. She also wanted to be the person that would bring the pink pocketbook onto the stage, giving Aretha cash before she would actually perform.
I applied for the job to carry her pocketbook, and I didn't get that job, but that was the job I wanted. But I always used the example of Aretha getting paid before she performed and having the money in that pocketbook and having somebody with the best job in the world carrying the pocketbook and bringing it out on the stage. Because if you look at the video of her, the pocketbook is on the stage, and that pocketbook has the payroll. And I used to use that as an example on the road. And in Europe, we often could get paid before the musicians performed. And my late husband, Dexter Gordon, said, you know, I could play the blues better when I get paid in advance. So we always talked about Aretha and that pocketbook, and the symbol of it was that she learned that from James Brown. We know that, that he said, get your money, get paid. But we kept, even in the days when maybe that wasn't a problem, that maybe she would get paid, that everybody would get paid without a problem. We know that there were many, many years and many gigs where musicians worked and then had a big problem getting paid.
WBGO announcer Bob Porter puts it all into perspective.
For her time, the best singer, male or female. I think of her primary period, the period that she's best is probably 67 to 70. But even in the mid-70s, even on some of the Arista stuff, she could reach back and really bring it home. You know, the fact of the matter is she never lost the ability to communicate.
Aretha Franklin's final public performance was last November when she sang at the Elton John AIDS Foundation Gala in New York. Aretha Franklin, dead at the age of 76. The icon will be missed.